hope and peace through the shepherd of Bethlehem. That's the title for this morning's message. Hope and peace through the shepherd of Bethlehem. There are another three or more months before Christmas. This is an advanced Christmas message. This is because the portion that we have been studying, the minor prophets, and this passage has come, Micah chapter 5, and you know this is a great passage on the advent of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. As I have been studying this portion during the last week and preparing this message, I have been very much blessed, and I want to share with you the thoughts the Lord has given to me, so that this message, not only for Christmas season, any time when we draw nigh to God and His Word, we have the encouragement. We are strengthened from God's Word, because this is God's Word. So, hope and peace through the shepherd of Bethlehem. Now, the minor prophets are generally known as books of judgments. God's justice. Because the minor prophets are written during the time the nation of Israel, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, sliding downward, going downward in their spiritual commitment. So the minor prophets, they declare God's justice, God's punishment for disobedience. And that's why many of us generally are not very much interested to read the minor prophets. Are we? How many of you are hearing sermons preached from minor prophets the first time? Some of you may be hearing, you know, messages from minor prophets the first time in your life. Pastors neglect this portion of Holy Scripture. But dear friends, as we go through these portions, book after book, the Lord has given me the burden to explain God's righteousness. That is where God's justice, or God is a righteous God, means He dislikes disobedience. He punishes sinners when we disobey God. And that's what we see in these books. But be encouraged, as we have been studying through these books for the last few months, there are great encouragement for our hearts. We have gone through the book of Jonah for the last few months. In fact, 9 messages I have preached to you during the last 2 months from the book of Jonah. And you know, we know how much we have been encouraged and strengthened. And like this, today as we move on to the book of Micah, in the midst of God's judgment, hope and comfort for God's people. And that's the message. Today I want to bring to you hope and peace, hope and comfort through the shepherd of Bethlehem. Messiah is the hope for the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Messiah. He is the shepherd of Bethlehem. I'm not going to have a nice talk with my own wisdom this morning to give you hope and comfort. I have none in my hands as I stand before you this morning, but I have the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd of Bethlehem. Come and behold, who is this shepherd? He's a person, his work. That's what, in fact, the prophet explains here. Who is he? The shepherd of Bethlehem. And that's what we are going to meditate for the next few minutes. Today, as we turn to this book of Micah, this is the prophet Micah. I want to give you a little bit background. Micah prophesied between 750 and 700 BC. Between 750 and 700 BC. This was a great dark period for both the northern and the southern kingdom of Israel. You know, Israel is divided into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was known as Israel. The southern kingdom was known as Judah. And both nations went through dark periods. They have gone away from the commandments of the Lord. There were kings whom God appointed. They have not regarded God's commandments, God's law. They have gone into their own ways. And because of that, the Lord has punished both the kingdoms. The northern kingdom, as you know, went through a very difficult time. And it was in 722 BC, the northern kingdom, during the time of Hoshea the king, was taken away into captivity by the Assyrians. 722 BC, that means during the period of the ministry of Micah. So it was during the period of Micah that he could see in his own eyes the northern kingdom sliding so much into sin. And finally God brought the Assyrians in 722 BC, punished the northern kingdom. The Assyrians came and took them away as a captive. And that's why, you turn with me now to Micah chapter 1. Micah chapter 1. Can anyone tell me what was the capital of the northern kingdom? What was the capital of the northern kingdom? Samaria. Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom. Now, Micah chapter 1. Micah prophesies against Samaria. Verse 5. Micah chapter 1, verse 5. Few verses down there. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Now take a look in verse 6. Punishment. Therefore I will make Samaria as a heap of the field, and as plantings of vineyards, and I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof, and all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned into the fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. The nation must be full of idols, graven images. Can you imagine a nation who was established by Yahweh, a people called by God's own name, supposed to worship him in truth, went after all the evil things, and even they have gone to the extent of people sacrificing their own sons, human sacrifice, offering into their deities. Where? In Israel. for which God said, I will punish Samaria. No wonder in the year 722 BC, Assyria was made ruined, as Micah the prophet prophesies here. Micah saw with his own eyes that God brought the heathen nation Assyria and to completely wipe out Samaria, their capital city, and the northern kingdom was no more. Now, what about the southern kingdom? The southern kingdom is known as Judah. The capital is Jerusalem. What about the southern kingdom? Now, take a look into verse 1, Micah 1:1. Micah mentions three kings, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. These were the kings during their time Micah prophesied. He was a prophet both to the northern kingdom as well as to the southern kingdom, but here particularly to the southern kingdom it was mentioned. Micah prophesied during the time of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. All these three kings were from the southern kingdom, Judah. Now, Jotham was not a very good king, and his son Ahaz also was not a good king, and during their periods a lot of idol worship, like the things that were happening in the northern kingdom, same, all the similar manner things were happening in the southern kingdom, Judah as well. Jotham and Ahaz was one of the bad kings. And then later, as you study further the history of the southern kingdom, a king like Manasseh came. Manasseh was the worst king of the southern kingdom. Again, idol worship, offering the children to the deities. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have gone after Baal, you know, the god of the native people, and all those kinds of things. What did God do for them? The Lord brought the Babylonians in the year 578 BC. That's where the southern kingdom was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. So both northern kingdom, capital Samaria, and southern kingdom, capital Jerusalem, were destroyed. Now, dear friends, as we see destruction happening all around, how can message of peace, message of hope, message of comfort come? That is where we see the beauty of the minor prophets. That's where we see the beauty of the prophetical message. The prophets have message of comfort. Now, with this background, you turn with me now to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Now, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. This was, by the way, the destruction that is going to come for the southern kingdom. The Lord will bring the heathen troops. For their disobedience, they will be punished. As the way Samaria was punished, Jerusalem also will be punished. Hold your breath. Huh? Punishment will come, but hold your breath. Verse 2. Shall we all read together verse 2? This is a beautiful, beautiful prophecy in the midst of judgment. in the midst of judgment. What does the prophet say? Verse 2 together. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You understand the situation now? In the midst of disobedience of people, God's people, and in the midst of God's judgment, God has a message of hope that God will send forth whom? The Messiah, the Savior. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall come forth the ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from everlasting. This is none other than the Messiah, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear friends, in the midst of destruction, seeing everything going against God's people because of God pours his judgment, God hasn't done away in dealing with his people. You understand? That's a message. God hasn't done away in dealing with his people and his plan. God carries on his plan. And God carries on his work. When things look so bleak, so gloomy, suddenly the message come. And interestingly, when Ahaz, one of the bad kings, while he was ruling during the time of Micah, after Ahaz, the Lord blessed Ahaz with a son. Do you know what was his name? The third name that was mentioned in Micah 1:1. Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Who was Hezekiah? Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz. Hezekiah was a great reformer. Hezekiah brought the nation, the southern kingdom, Judah, back into the fold of God. In other words, God reformed, God revived. Hezekiah was a man who honored God's law, God's commandments. And together with Micah, bringing in this great prophecy of sending, you know, restoration through the Messiah, Hezekiah was able to do a great thing for the nation. So everything is not done away. Everything is not gone. That is the encouragement this morning I want to bring from this passage to all of us. And that's where hope and peace through the shepherd of Bethlehem. Is your life on a rocky situation, on a rocky ground? Are you thinking that no comfort and no strength for my life? My dear friend, as you listen through the words of the Lord this morning, as you meditate from this passage, I hope you would be strengthened, you would be encouraged that through the Messiah, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the encouragement, the true encouragement comes. Now, when Micah prophesies the birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what Micah 5:2, the birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a companion together with Micah. Do you know who was that companion? It was Isaiah. Isaiah, the great prophet, and Micah, both of them were contemporaries. They were prophesying at the same period of time. Now, with this you can easily connect. What was the focus of Isaiah's prophecy? The book of Isaiah. A harsh judgments in the book of Isaiah. At the same time, in the midst of judgment that Isaiah pronounces upon the nations, both the northern and the southern kingdom, there was also messages of encouragement. Remember, the book of Isaiah is considered as a little sister of Micah, the prophecy of Micah. In other words, in the book of Isaiah, we have the great announcement of the great Emmanuel, right? Isaiah 7:14 is the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth. Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah prophesied. Isaiah's prophecy doesn't stop there. Isaiah moves on. Isaiah 9:6. What we have in Isaiah 9:6? In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the great counselor, the wonderful counselor. Isaiah 9:6. Wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Who is he? The Messiah. And then Isaiah goes on, and when we come to Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah prophesies the suffering servant. So many revelations, announcements came through Isaiah at a same time when the nation going through the bleak situation, at the same time when Micah prophesies. So Micah add to the prophetical revelation Isaiah was giving. Micah add in such a way that in a very particular manner, Micah here says the exact place of Jesus' birth. Where will Jesus be born? Micah here says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah." Now, there are two Bethlehems in Israel, if you understand the geography of Israel. There are two Bethlehems. One Bethlehem in the north of Israel, and the other Bethlehem in south. Now, in which Bethlehem that Jesus will be born? North or south? Is the word of the Lord clear? Accurate? You take a look into chapter 5, Micah 5, verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah." So, this Bethlehem, Micah knew there are two Bethlehems in Israel, but the Bethlehem wherein Jesus would be born would be the Bethlehem in the south. The Bethlehem in north is in Zebulun. That is in north, northern Israel. But Micah here says, not in the north Bethlehem, north of Israel Bethlehem, but the southern Bethlehem, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, Bethlehem Ephrathah. And particularly Micah says, that is where? In Judah. So no doubt whatsoever, God's word is so accurate. God's word is so specific. It is the Bethlehem of south, Bethlehem Ephrathah, Bethlehem of Judah, where the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And we thank God for such a very pinpointed, specific announcement from God's prophet, helping us to know where exactly Jesus was born. Now, two things very quickly I want to meditate from this, verses 2 to 5. The first thing that the prophet announces here about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he's a person. Verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. The greatness of this person, the greatness of this Messiah, the greatness of the shepherd, verse 2 very clearly tells us. Bethlehem, by the way, is not a big city. Bethlehem is explained here as what? Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. Bethlehem was not known those days as like Jerusalem or Nazareth, you know, or Galilee. Those were the places very much known. But Bethlehem was a little small town. One of the smallest towns in Israel, Bethlehem. But do you know, this little town, Bethlehem, became a known city. And that's why when we come to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 2, the passage that we read in for our responsive reading, can you just quickly turn to that? Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. A memory verse. Matthew chapter 2 verse 6, right? Matthew 2 verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule the people of Israel. In fact, this was a quote. This was a quote from Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. This verse that we are meditating, quoted by Matthew. And Matthew there says, although Bethlehem was a little town, it was not the least. It was not a small town at all. Matthew there says, when he quoted Micah 5:2, you are not the least among the princes of Judah. Why? Because out of you, who shall come? The shepherd. You understand? Although Bethlehem was a small little town, not very prominent, because of Jesus, because of the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, that small, not very much known little town became so prominent. Today when you go to Israel for the pilgrimage, you would not miss Bethlehem. There is a nativity church there, and all the pilgrims, when they visit Israel, they will go to Bethlehem. But in the olden days, Bethlehem was not that much prominent. But it was because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of this prophecy that Micah announces, the Messiah would come to this little, oh Bethlehem, although you be a little, one of the least towns, when the Lord Jesus Christ come from you, when the Lord Jesus Christ come to you, you would not be the least. You may be considering yourself not that significant. An insignificant person, insignificant vessel. But when the Lord Jesus Christ reaches out unto us, when the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a salvation, when the Lord Jesus Christ blesses us with his gospel, when the Lord Jesus Christ transforms our lives, my dear friends, we are so precious and important in the eyes of the Lord. Last Friday, we were attending a talk by a sister who came all the way from the US, And she was sharing the testimony of her life, how the Lord has blessed her. Right now she reaches out to what we call the parliamentarians. She comes from the US, and she was serving as in the team of a chaplains in the state house in Indianapolis. You know, the state house means that's where the governor stays, and she was in the group of the chaplains. Chaplains, where they are the one who give the spiritual advice and the spiritual guidance. They pray for the lawmakers. The current vice president, you might know, Mike Pence. He was the governor of Indiana state, and this lady, her name is Mrs. Palm. She was actually in that team, in that governor's house, reaching out to the lawmakers over there, and she was sharing with us. She came from a very insignificant background. He was a wife of a military man serving in the US Army, but because of she came to know the gospel, because of she could attend a Bible study, and the lady who was teaching the Bible to her opened her heart, I mean shared the gospel, and by which the Lord opened her heart. And ever since she became a Christian, she could see the value and the importance of her life. And she was so thrilled, and she was sharing, even sometimes she was saying that she and her team go to the Washington DC. Right now Mike Pence is a vice president. He is in Washington DC, and she was saying how the Lord has been using her and her team to reach out to the lawmakers in Washington DC to pray for them. And she shared with us the secret behind the Lord's blessing upon her. Not because of her ability, not because of her wisdom, because of the Lord saved her. Because of the gospel transformed her life. And that's what, my dear friends, we may not be that very big and very, very significant in this world. And we know who we are. We are utterly sinful, depraved people. But the moment when we come and commit our lives and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel transforms our lives. The gospel enriches us. And that's what we see in the case of Bethlehem, a little town, thou be little among thousands of Judah, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And who is he, the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the great shepherd. And we have two things in verse 2. Let me just mention to you that. Out of thee shall come. Why Bethlehem became so significant? Out of thee shall come forth who? That is to be ruler in Israel. Who is the Messiah? The Messiah is the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Two things about this great shepherd, the Messiah, whose birth specifically Micah announces. He is the ruler. Matthew mentions he is the governor. Matthew chapter 2 verse 6, when Matthew quoted this verse, he mentioned us, he is the governor, he is the ruler, he governs our lives, he is the master of our lives, he guides us, he shows how we need to take the path, how we need to plan our lives. He gives us the guidance. That's the governor does. That's the ruler does. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends. He is the governor. And who is he? Where does he come from? He is from all eternity, right? Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. In other words, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the everlasting King. He is the everlasting ruler. He is able to take care of our life every day because He is the eternal, everlasting God, everlasting Savior. Are we afraid in committing our lives into the hands of this God? He is the ruler of our lives. He is the everlasting Savior of our lives. He will take care of our lives, not for one day. He will take care of our lives all through. And that's why we need to come and commit our lives into the hands of the Lord. Finally, one more thing I want to mention from this, and that is where the second part, when we come to this passage, verse 3 on verse 3 to 5, not only He is the one who makes the little insignificant things great in the eyes of the Lord, as He is the great ruler, as He is the everlasting King, He does His work in our lives. Three things, verses 3 to 5. Take a look in verse 3 now. Therefore will He give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of His brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Now what does the prophet say here? For a period of time, the Lord will give them up. Who? The people of Judah, the people of Israel, God will give them up for a while. Why? Because of their disobedience. Okay? Until the woman bring forth her son in travail. Who is she? Mary, giving birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Until the Messiah comes, the people will go through punishment and hardships. But when the Messiah comes, until Mary give her the child, until the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be tribulations, there will be struggles. But when the Messiah comes, when the birth takes place, when incarnation happens, what will be? He will regather the children of Israel. In other words, the Messiah is the regatherer. People who have gone astray will be brought into the fold of God. In other words, the Messiah is the Redeemer. Okay, please understand. The ruler of Bethlehem, the great shepherd, the everlasting God, He has come. He has come as what? In His incarnation, He has come to save us, to redeem us, to give us a salvation. He is a regatherer. The Lord Jesus Christ, He will come as a conqueror. In fact, the prophet says it here. We will see that later. But before that, please understand, this Messiah, this Savior, He has come. He has given His life. He has surrendered His life to save you and I from the destruction, from the bondage, from the stronghold that we were taken in by the devil. And that's why I have mentioned over there the great redeeming love by which the Savior reaches out unto us, because He has come to regather. We have gone astray from Thee. We were condemned people. We have neglected this salvation plan. We have neglected the gospel call. But we thank God for the incarnation. God so loved the world that He sent forth His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting. That is what regathering. Christ has come. John 1:1. Christ has come. And John 1:14. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 14. Christ has come so that He would regather His people, that we would come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not only He is a regatherer, verse 4. Take a look in verse 4. This Messiah This Savior, he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of his God. And they shall abide, for now shall be great unto the ends of the earth. My dear friends, he is a conqueror. He is a conqueror. Now, a shepherd, he is called as a shepherd here. He shall stand and feed. The word feed literally means a shepherd. He shall stand, that is actually a soldier. A soldier, when he guards, he won't sit down and he won't lie down. A soldier stands, having geared up with all the armament, right? He always on guard. A security person, he won't sit down and lie down. He is always on guard. Our Savior, the Messiah, who has come to be born to Bethlehem, he is the one who stands. He is our great conqueror. He stands for us to bring down the strongholds and to give us protection and to deliver us from our enemies. Right? He shall stand and feed. Shepherd, that's the word. He will stand and shepherd his people, his flock. That's where he brings victory for his people, for you and I. We have the mighty God, the everlasting Father, through his redeeming work, through his redeeming love, he covers our lives, my dear friend, in whatever ruin and destruction you end up because of sin. The Lord is able to deliver us. The Lord is able to protect us. The Lord is able to guide us, because he is the conqueror. He is the one who stands. He is the one who shepherd. And you know what the shepherd does. When a sheep goes astray, the shepherd will go after to bring the sheep into the flock and to care and to guide. That is what the ministry. And he will do so not without any power, in the majesty of the name of the Lord. And when he does so, what will happen to us? They shall abide. You and I shall abide in the protection, in the care, in the love of our Savior, our God. What an assurance. This is the promise. This is a message. A people who have been affected by sin, a people who have been going through a very difficult time. This was a message Micah had to proclaim. The message was not over. Verse 5. That's the final thing. And this man shall be what? The peace. This man shall be the peace. So the baby that is going to be born in Bethlehem is not an ordinary person. The great ruler, the everlasting God, when he reaches out to his people, oh, he comes as a great redeemer to regather, to bring us back from the bondage of sin and destruction that we have been all these years, to give us eternal life and to conquer us, to give us victory, to captivate our lives by this great and mighty soldier. There's no defeat for us. That we would be watched over by this God, and he would watch over us, and he would protect us, and finally he will give us what? Peace. And this peace is not the ordinary peace. This peace the Lord brings unto us, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5:1, this is peace because of what? Reconciliation. In God, through Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled. When we have been reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ, what we have? the peace of God, the peace of God. You understand? The peace that passes all understanding. It is not like the normal peace that we see outside there. It is divine peace, divine comfort, divine consolation, because we have been brought back into the relationship with our God. Our sins are forever forgiven. We have been reconciled to God. And when that reconciliation happens, we have the peace of God. I want to conclude my words this morning. This is a message normally we preach for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my dear friends, this is a message that is very relevant to us. Now I want to call your attention to the passage that we read from Matthew's Gospel for our responsive reading. When this glorious event happened, the actual arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ had happened, which Gospel of Matthew records it for us. Do you know what exactly happened? Please turn with me to that passage, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, finally, just one or two things I remind, and then we will have the closing hymn and prayer. Matthew chapter 2, the great fulfillment of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Bethlehem Ephrathah. Jesus was born not in Bethlehem of Zebulun. Bethlehem Ephrathah, the Bethlehem of South, according to what Micah prophesied. Verse 6. O thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth the governor, the ruler of Israel. Who was not happy? When the event happened, who was not happy? Herod was not happy. Herod trembled. Please listen. Herod trembled. Herod was a ruler. Herod trembled when the news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ came to his ears. Herod trembled, my dear friends. He was so frightened. What are you talking? You have come, he was telling to the wise men, you have come in search of the king of the Jews? I thought I am the king. No king, no king. The real king has come. God has sent the real governor, the ruler of the universe. He trembled. He trembled. He was so afraid. He wanted to destroy. He wanted to destroy. But you know, when the wise men really found out the Messiah, where he was born, what was their response? Verse 11. That's the conclusion for us this morning. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened the treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They fell down. The word fell down literally means heart bent low. The wise men fell down. The wise men bended their heart very, very low, the lowest. In other words, they humbled themselves. Nothing else they could do, because they were standing before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the incarnate Messiah. They fell down. They worshipped him. They gave the best they could give. That's what, my dear friends, this morning as we meditate, the great person, the great announcement to Micah, the great governor, the great shepherd, who has come to regather us, to bring us back unto him who has come to deliver us, who has come to shepherd us, and he would give us peace. We commit our lives unto him and follow him, and his peace, his strength, his joy shall be our portion. Shall we pray?